This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebbefe alongside Will Hill, hanging with you guys here on this Wednesday night. As always, you can watch us VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, and you can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158 as we're in your ear 24/7. A lot to update that happened while we were in the break. Walk it off at Petco Park. How about that? The San Diego Padres, they get it done. They were down 3-2 headed to the bottom of the 11th. Luis Camposano goes ahead and walks it off for a 4-3 victory with the Padres. And as I am reporting that, the Chicago Cubs just hit a three-run homer. So it is now 4-1 Chicago Cubs on the Nationals. Why is that important? Well, that NL Central race continues to tighten and tighten and tighten between Milwaukee and Chicago. So the Cubbies are up 4-1 in the top of the fifth. The Brewers just lost. I feel like, I mean, Milwaukee's really been on some kind of slide since the trade deadline. I don't know if like the vibes for that team have just been completely thrown off since they didn't go out there and get active with some bats or go out there and get Tarek Skubal, but that is now a third consecutive loss for the Milwaukee Brewers that they have suffered. So they continue to relinquish what has been a pretty massive lead for them as we were at the All-Star break. But now it's four games back, and I believe that's just because they haven't updated the standings. I think they're going to be about 3.5 games back, pending what happens between Chicago and Washington.
Yeah, I think it was a full four games, four in the loss column and four overall. Remember, the loss column is the most important thing because you cannot make up another team's losses. You could have extra games and extra wins. You know what? If I get extra games, I can kind of control my own destiny. If I'm five losses behind, you got to lose games. So it's kind of out of your control. That's why the loss column is more indicative. But it's now three in the loss column, and the odds, they are a moving, Femi. At FanDuel, Milwaukee -250 to win the Central. The Cubs down to +195.
Oh,
at DraftKings, similar number. Milwaukee -310, Cubs +210. So you can still get around 2-1 on the Cubbies, but objects in the mirror may appear closer than they are, whatever the stupid saying is. Cubs are coming. The Cubs are coming. The Cubs might be gaining some traction here because the Cubs are really good. They straighten out the pitching staff. They can hit. They can field. They've got seven games with Milwaukee between now and I think it's September 9th. So now and right around the start of the NFL season, you probably have to win some of those games. You might have to go. I've been saying you got to go at least like 5-2 and make up three games. Hey, the way things are going, you might only just need to go 4-3 and like make up one game. But we got a race here in the Central. East, probably going to be the Braves. Dodgers going to be the West. The AL races are great. I thought the NL races a few weeks ago, a month ago, were pretty much spoken for. But the Cubbies are certainly going to make this interesting. Who do you think wins ultimately?
Oh man, I mean, there's seven games between the two teams. It's the race hasn't even started as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? Like we've been tracking this whole thing, but now that it's down to like 4 or 3.5 games, whatever it might be, like this thing is barely started. So where are those games? Let me pull up the Cubs schedule because I want to see where these games are being played later on this year. So looking at the schedule, they have at the end of this month and early next month, it is a four game set at Wrigley, and then the week after that it's three games at what, American Family AmFam ballpark, whatever the hell they call it now, shout out to Miller Park. It'll be a three game set in Milwaukee. The Cubs still have to go to Boston at the end of the season. They still have to host the Braves. They still have to host the Marlins. You know, like they're playing a lot of teams. They got to travel to Seattle. I'm going to say Milwaukee because Chicago's schedule is rather difficult. Yes, they're playing the Nationals right now, and they have the Cardinals afterwards at the end of the week. But then it's the Whites, three against the White Sox at home, three against the Mariners, three against the Diamondbacks, three against the Reds, four against the Brewers, three against the Marlins, three against the Brewers, three against the Pirates, who knows what they're doing by that point, three against the Braves, then three against the Reds, three against the Marlins, three against the Red Sox. So I'm going to say Milwaukee hangs on, but man, it's a toss-up, it feels like. It's getting dicey. I would favor Milwaukee, but I would not be favoring them by like a significant amount, that's for sure.
Yeah, should be fun. I know once football starts, we're all football crazy, but these baseball races are going to be fun.
What do you think? Because you're also a Cubs holder like I am in terms of winning the World Series. Do you have a preference for them to win the division or not? Do you care? Does it even like...
Oh, yeah. I want the bye. I don't want to play that. Yeah, I don't want to deal with... I don't want to deal with any more rounds than I have to. Get me the bye. I want the bye.
I mean, isn't there something to be said about just keeping the momentum rolling? Like it's like a week off when you get the bye. That scares me a little bit in baseball.
Two out of three scares me too.
It definitely does.
I'm a bad 24, 36 hours from my season being over.
Two out of three is definitely
scary.
And also,
as much as we like the Cubs, we don't have that, you know what? We don't have the Scooble. We'll go against like a Wheeler or Sanchez in the play. We don't have that like A1 ace to throw out there. You got better pitching and you got, you know, good team around it, but I don't know. Get me the bye. You don't want the bye? You'd rather play?
No, I mean, I don't think I have a preference. I just see both sides where I'm just like, okay, I could see where the bye could be detrimental to where it's like, wow, like you just, like you were playing so, like, because think about it, if they were to win the division, they're going to finish really strong. So they've been playing red hot for like 2.5 months. And all of a sudden now it's like, here's a week off of baseball while your opponent's playing like October grind through baseball. Like that to me is a little bit concerning. I know they're professionals. I'm sure they have ways that they can stay prepared and it'll be great to line up the arms and get everybody rested. I know that'll be phenomenal, but there's something also to be said about just like staying in your routine. Athletes, especially pitchers, are creatures of habit, and staying in that routine is massive come October. But then like you mentioned,
I gave this. Yeah, go ahead.
As I said, like you mentioned, like if you have to play a 3-game series, especially if it's against Philadelphia, as much as I joke about the Phillies and like I'm not scared of their lineup, I'm certainly scared of those arms and Wheeler and Sanchez. Like, you know, like those arms are for sure. So like those are guys that like if you have a team like that you have to face, it's a little concerning.
Gave this out this morning on a numbers game at 15-1. It's 13-1 right now at FanDuel. Cubs to be the one seed plus 1300. Is that something you might be interested in?
Okay. Now the fun begins. Now the fun begins. So let's see where we're currently at right now in the league. All right. So
right there.
Yeah. I mean, they're right. They really are 13.
Yeah.
I mean, the schedule, I read it off. The schedule is difficult. They don't have to play the Dodgers though. They play the Brewers 7 times. They play the Braves 3 times. So it's all out in front. 13-1. Like now we're talking odds. I feel like that's fun. Yeah. Yeah. That's something I'd be interested in. That's something I'd be interested in. Cause like that doesn't matter what goes on in the postseason. It's like, no, 13-1 just to have the best record in the National League at the end of the regular season. They're literally just 3 games back in the loss column of Milwaukee. And that's your current holder for the number one. Now, who knows? Maybe the Dodgers, if Ohtani comes back, that factors into it. Snell was amazing last night. Scooble, I'm sure, will start to look like Scooble pretty soon here. So, like, the Dodgers, of course, are, like, a hurdle. And the Braves, can't forget about them. They are also a really good baseball team. But at price, I mean, I have the Cubs right there on that same tier as those other three teams. So why not? That's my question. Why not?
Do you have that out there? Do any of your books? I think Caesars offers. When I was there last week, Caesars offered.
I feel like Caesars would be the one.
I don't know if it's available during the games.
I doubt it's available during the games. But yeah, I'd say Caesars is for sure the one that would have it. Let me look it up here real quick. So team futures. So I just see league, division, wild card, and last place finish. So maybe tomorrow morning or after the games late tonight.
Yeah,
that they can get this back up here. But yeah. I think that's a fun one to bet. Let me check on division. Have they put the AL West back up? Nope, they did not. They still have that one down. NL Central's up. Cubs plus 175 at Caesars to win the NL Central.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think that's
Brewers minus 280.
I mean, on one hand, you're kind of late to the party. You could have gotten some better numbers. But on another hand, I wouldn't be surprised a week or two we're doing the show and it's you know, even money or something. And it's basically a toss up each way.
Yeah,
I think the Cubs are legit.
It's like Cubs a week from now, Cubs 1 game back in the division. You know, it's just like you can see it a mile away with this thing. So, yeah, it's certainly gotten really interesting in this American League Central. Now, the Cubs, of course, have to take care of business tonight. They have a 4-1 lead on the Washington Nationals. Can't look forward to lose this game. It's bottom of the fifth. You're up 4-1. take care of business against an inferior opponent and continue to close that gap. Meanwhile, our VSiN primetime game of the night, Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Boston offensively, just they're not swinging the bat, man. I don't know what's going on. They can't seem to get it going. Looking at the live markets over at DraftKings, I see right now the Blue Jays -162, Red Sox +141. The total is now 4.5. I bet the Red Sox first five on the money line at -112. It's not going well, man. You need to score. Go ahead and get that one done for me, as I believe they just did. There we go.
There you go.
Contreras. Yahtzee! That's the beauty of looking at the live markets. You get the update, and now I get to watch it in real time. Bang! Out to left field. No doubter. Outfielder just stared and admired it. Knotted up at one. Let's go, Red Sox. Wilson Contreras. So now, the updated live markets. Boston -140. Toronto +122. Total has ticked up to 5.5. Oh, by the way, the Mariners now have a 4-3 lead on the New York Yankees. It was 4-1 just moments ago. Spencer Jones is going to make something happen here. He's going to shake the table out there in the Bronx. Mariners now -138. Yankees +120. Total 12.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing two runs scored on that. You know what it was? Full count, two outs. So they're off on the pitch because that was a line drive off the wall. And the left fielder, I think Rosarena, played it pretty well. But 4-3, and we got a ball game. My under's in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's baseball. Maybe they can just shut the scoring off. We'll talk some football, though, when we come back here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We trudge along here on a Wednesday night on VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill here with you guys. Looks like the Nationals just cut into their deficit. Was once 4-1, now 4-2 out there in our nation's capital. As we were headed to break in the last segment, the Red Sox tied things up at 1. They just got a base runner on. I believe Caleb Durbin just... got a base knock there, so a nice little single for Boston with one out. So Jaron Duran now up at the plate. We'll see if he can make something happen. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit better these days, Jaron Duran. It's been a rough season for him. I thought he was going to get traded. I think a lot of people did, but starting to hit. I don't know what he was swinging at there, but he's starting to hit the ball a little bit better for the Boston Red Sox. So that's what Jaron Duran and the Red Sox are up to, 1-1 in the top of the fifth. I am on Red Sox first five money line, so I would very much like for Jaron Duran to come through here. The Guardians have a 4-3 lead on the Tigers as this game, Will, in the American League Central, continues to go back and forth here. Like, one minute you look up, the Tigers are up. The next minute you look up, the Guardians are up. It's 4-3 right now in the top of the sixth. So Duran will fly out to right there. So that's unfortunate. But this Cleveland-Detroit game, I don't know. I feel like we got a few more twists and turns just based on how the first about five and a third has gone.
Big game, too. Big game for both these teams. Cleveland has not played well. Detroit is surging. Detroit gets Cleveland again, obviously, tonight. And then tomorrow, they host both those games. And then they get a three-game weekend series against the Chicago White Sox, who are currently in a scoreless tie with Cincinnati. So I don't think Minnesota's winning that division. I don't love Cleveland. You can't count them out. So it looks like a four-team race. I kind of think it comes down to the White Sox and the Tigers. But it would be certainly a fascinating twist if the Tigers, after trading Skubal, trading Casey Mize, end up the last team standing in that division. And you know what? It wouldn't be the craziest thing. +250 entering play today. I think they are very live there to make a run. But Valdez gave up two runs right off the bat. Detroit comes back with three, I think two in the second, one in the third. But he has spit up the lead ever since. So it's now 4-3 in Cleveland, threatening for more. So if you feel like if you feel like you can hold them here, just hold them at four. You can eventually claw back and maybe tie it or take the lead. But you don't want to dig yourself a deeper hole, obviously.
A game we haven't really talked about a lot here on VSiN Primetime. How about the one that's happening right now in South Beach between the Pirates and the Marlins? Miami has a 6-2 lead on Pittsburgh. And it feels like Pittsburgh's just going to be one of those teams that apparently just peaked a little bit too early and is going to fade into oblivion. out there in the NL wildcard race. But Miami, at first it started as a joke, but like now, like there's no joke, there's no laughing matter with this Marlins team where they're only one game back in the loss column of the final NL wildcard spot. They've been playing awesome baseball because they had that long losing streak. Like we were sure on did. The air for that when they finally broke that losing streak. And since then, it's just been like really, really high level baseball to where they're right back in the thick of this thing, man. Like it just goes to show you how long the season is. I hate to sound like a broken record, but like everyone gets infatuated with the Red Sox win streak. Now the Red Sox are on a 4-game losing streak. Everyone gets infatuated with the Marlins losing streak. Now the Marlins are playing really good baseball. They're right back in the mix here as a Miami. They're hoping to get another win against Pittsburgh here and put Pittsburgh further back and further thrust themselves into this NL wildcard race.
Yeah, and disappointed in Pittsburgh. Maybe they're a year away, but with that pitching with Skeens and Ashcraft and Jared Jones, the lineup's better. I thought that was there for them to make a run. Last spot's kind of wide open, and they have just gone the wrong way the last couple weeks. They do some dumb things, too. They don't run the bases well. Skeens hasn't been himself. Well, I got a decent pitch game from last night, but they lost 2-0, couldn't hit. I still looked. They're 30-1 to be the sixth seed. They're like a good, five or six games out. They're probably done, but to go back to your line, the baseball season is long, and I know they're losing tonight, and at some point, it's a point of no return, but I don't know. Could there be an 8 out of 10 run for the Pirates where it's like, oh, maybe the Pirates, I know they have a lot of teams to catch, and they haven't played well, but on one hand, I keep saying they're done, forget it, give up on them. I'm kind of saying that to like jinx it back into reality. maybe Pittsburgh is a team that can come out of nowhere and challenge for a spot, or maybe I'm just chasing a falling knife, which again, sounds like a painful endeavor.
So you want to bet 30-1 to be the sixth seed. What about just 25 to make the playoffs and like get,
oh,
take
that
the
would be much better. That would
yeah,
be better.
As like, instead of that having to better, thread yeah. the needle. Instead of having to thread sure. the needle just to get like, yes, you don't get the same 30-1 payout, but 25-1 is pretty damn good as well. And you don't have to worry about, oh, I want them to make it, but only as a six. That's what FanDuel has right now. 25, like they're 25-1 to make the playoffs.
Is that enough for you or no?
I kind of think they're just cooked.
part of me, probably do too.
Part of me thinks that they're just cooked. Now, from a value standpoint, that's the clear bet to make because Don Kelly, he's 10-1 to win NL Manager of the Year. Like, that's not happening unless they make the playoffs.
No.
So like, no. I, how about you bet 25-1, get paid on September 30th, as opposed to bet 10-1 and get paid on like November 17th. You know,
or never,
or who knows, or never. He might not win the award, but like even if he were to win it, like you get paid out on like November 17th, like a week before Thanksgiving. Sure. So return on investment, value, etc. It all points to if you like the Buccos, bet them to make the playoffs 25-1 over at FanDuel if you still believe. But looking at the standings right now, well, they're 5 games back in the loss column. Not impossible. But based
it's
on
not.
Other,
it's really not.
Like based on their plan,
losing
right
again
now,
tonight, losing to a team they're chasing. I mean, you don't want this to get to like 7 or 8 middle. I mean, you start to get to a point where, I don't say you're running out of time because you do have a lot of time left, but eventually you run out of eventualies.
Eventually the Nationals are going to tie this game up as they just did. The Washington Nationals now have tied the game. It's 4-4 as they've gotten to David Peterson, who's on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. That, I guess, is music to the ears of Milwaukee Brewer fans who are out there because the Brew Crew, they are leaking oil. I'm sure they're hoping that the Nationals can do them at least a solid and keep their division lead at 4 games as opposed to it shrinking to 3 games. We're knotted at 4, 2 outs in the bottom of the 5th. We'll see if Peterson can get away and get out of this thing with facing the bottom of the order. So that's what's going on right now in the NL Central as well as the rest of Major League Baseball. While we had a few minutes here, Will, I did want to throw something at you from the National Football League as hey guys, the preseason begins in earnest tomorrow. How about that? We're all excited for the NFL preseason. I know some of you hardos out there are like, oh, who bet the preseason? All right. Well, I love it. It's fun. And a lot of people all love it as well as 7 million people watch the Hall of Fame game. So get off us if you're trying to do this Debbie Downer stuff about the NFL preseason, which, by the way, we have 6 games that kick off on Thursday, one of which Packers facing Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. And I don't even say that jokingly. Rodgers is going to play in the game. Now, he'll probably play like a series or two, but it'll be Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers for at least a series or two. We get three games coming up on Friday, seven games on Saturday. I didn't even mention the Thursday slate. We got Jeremiah Love versus Fernando Mendoza, the number one overall pick. So there's a lot of fun that we have in store for the NFL preseason. And the big storyline in the NFL preseason, at least with one of the quarterback battles, that is between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns. Todd Monken, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, he announced earlier this afternoon that Deshaun Watson will be starting in their week one preseason game, and Watson will get a full half, and then Shedeur Sanders will play likely just the whole third quarter, and then they'll go from there to wrap up the game in the fourth quarter. They will then go ahead and do the opposite of that in week two. Shedeur Sanders will get the start in the first half of week two. Then Watson will play the third quarter, and then they'll wrap up the game in the fourth quarter. Anything that you want to read into with Todd Monken giving Watson the first nod as the starting quarterback to begin the preseason?
Not really, but from a betting standpoint, I do like betting on teams that have quarterback battles just because, mm-hmm. you're going to see, motivation is a thing that's in your favor. You've got multiple quarterbacks that are playing and trying. I mean, what you don't want is like a Mahomes situation where you have Mahomes is great, but he's not going to play. And then you have all backups. You want just take two mediocre, even bad quarterbacks, but their starting level, even if it's bottom of the league, is a good situation. So Cleveland's taking a little money. I think I was doing the show with John Jastrzemski Sunday. They were a point and a half dog. And I mentioned them as a side I like, and now they're laying a point and a half. And those one and a halves and twos, that's another thing for preseason Femi. Those numbers are very important. NFL regular season, not a lot of numbers, not a lot of games land on one or two, but there's no overtime, so you will get ties. You had three ties last year, and these teams that are down seven are going to go for two late, which means either win by one, lose by one, or if you get the two and you leave enough time on the other end, the team kicks a field goal, it lands on two. So 1.5, 2.5, those are much more key numbers in the preseason than the regular season.
I think it's a really good point to bring up there, because I think I was watching the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, and I was like, oh, wow, I forgot that they got rid of the overtime. Yeah. I was like, oh, are we going to get some overtime in the preseason? It's like, no.
I was wondering if he was going to play for the tie if it was like fourth and 16. I was like, is he just going to kick the field goal to go for the tie? But then Haynes King had the big run and got in. But you get to a point where if you're kicking like a 55-yarder, if it's fourth and 16, maybe you do go for the tie. But that's no overtime, and teams try to avoid the tie. So those 1.5, 2.5, those are more key numbers.
The Cleveland Browns, by the way, now out to a 2.5-point favorite in Saturday's preseason game against the Chicago Bears. We will lay out all of our bets later on in the program, but coming up next, we continue this NFL conversation, talking some awards here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College football season is almost here, and getting in blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide you get the guide free with VSiN Pro is what I'm trying to say. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds, and get the real-time betting splits. AI-powered prop projections and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99, or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging with you guys here on this Wednesday evening, taking in all the Major League Baseball that we have around the big leagues. Still knotted at one for our VSiN Primetime game of the night between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. My bet is a push in that game. I was on Boston first five money line. Thankfully, they were able to get a run for me before that thing wrapped up there, but unable to get over the finish line. So no money lost, no money made in that contest. It feels like I'm pushing a lot of baseball bets these days. I don't know what's going on. Just happens to be the luck of the draw, it feels like. 4-3, Mariners lead the Yankees, and I believe we're still 4-4 in our nation's capital. We are indeed 4-4 in the top of the sixth. Runner on first for the Chicago Cubs. But Will, let's talk National Football League. We ended the last segment discussing the Cleveland Browns quarterback battle. I think we both believe that Deshaun Watson is going to likely be the week one starter for the Cleveland Browns, barring Shedeur Sanders, like, just looking absolutely phenomenal next week or something like that. And then maybe public pressure. And then, like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, we have to start Shedeur because everybody wants us to start Shedeur. But outside of that happening, it's a pretty good chance that Deshaun Watson is your week one starter. And you texted Garrett and I earlier this afternoon in our group show chat about the Athletics' Mike Sando and his QB tiers. And I absolutely love Mike Sando. We've had him on here on VSiN over the years. He is phenomenal, a football historian. And one of the cool projects he does every single offseason is he talks to around 50 executives and coaches and scouts and asks for their quarterback tiers. And the tier one guys are your elite quarterbacks. Tier two, the really good, but fall short of elite. Tier three, okay, he's just a starter. Tier four, guys that you wouldn't want being your starting quarterback. So let me run down some of the guys that are in these tiers. We encourage everybody. It's free over at The Athletic as well, so I'm not giving away anything for free. Just Google Mike Sando quarterback tiers on The Athletic, and it'll come up in your search engine. But Patrick Mahomes was the number one quarterback in tier one. Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford tied for second. Those are the two most recent MVPs, Stafford, the reigning MVP. And then you have Joe Burrow as the number four quarterback in tier one. That's it for tier one. Tier two begins with Lamar Jackson, who is fifth in the ranking. After Lamar, you have Justin Herbert at number six, Dak Prescott at seven. There's a tie for eighth between Drake May and Jared Goff. Then Jordan Love rounds it out at 10. And then there's a tie for 11th between Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams. And then Jaden Daniels is at number 13 and a tie for 14th with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And then Trevor Lawrence at 16, Jalen Hurts at 17, Bo Nix at 18, Aaron Rodgers 19, CJ Stroud 20, Daniel Jones 21, Bryce Young 22 for your guys. And then now we're into like the tier three caliber of players here. Kyler Murray's at 23, Jackson Dart 24, Cam Ward 25, Tyler Shuck, and we have Tua Tagovailoa tied at 26, Kirk Cousins 28. That's the end of tier three. Tier four, if you want them, Malik Willis, Geno Smith, Deshaun Watson, Michael Penix Jr., Jacoby Brissett, J.J. McCarthy, and Shedeur Sanders to round out the final tier of Mike Sando's QB tiers. From a betting standpoint here, Will, like, there's a clear thing that I take away from this, but I want to get your thoughts first because I have a lot of stuff that I want to get to as it pertains to one award in particular in the National Football League. But your general thoughts on the tiers list, any gripes, what you thought about it when you first read it and started to digest it, and anything that you take away from a betting standpoint?
Nothing glaring in terms of gripes. You know, I think of Jalen Hurts without doing it on a piece of paper in your head. I think of a fringe top 10 quarterback, won a Super Bowl. I don't think he's elite, but he's pretty good. I think, you know, 10 or 12, something like that. And then you look 17. Yes, that being said, the guys ahead of him, it's a little bit, and there's some recency bias because it didn't look great last year. You can blame it on the coordinators, some of it's fair, but all right, maybe you take him over Lawrence. Maybe you take him over Darnold. A lot of these guys, you're splitting hairs. Even though 17 just top of my head sounds crazy, I'd probably take him over Baker. I don't know about Darnold. It's not as crazy when you go one by one where you think, all right, would I trade him for this guy? Would I trade him for that guy? It sounds disrespectful, 17, but there's not that many guys that, I don't know, when you go one by one, they say, man, I can't believe he was over there. I would take him over Baker, but you know, you get the idea. The other thing before I throw it back to you, it's not just the numbers, and I encourage everyone to go read it, and he's coming on my podcast Friday. It's the quotes. The quotes are really interesting because you get, and you know this from working in the media, these guys, they'll put their name on something, but they won't give you anything good, or they'll be anonymous and they'll give you good stuff. And somebody talked about Mahomes' body, where he said he's got a little bit of a belly, his upper body's not that sculpted, he's got good legs, but you worry as he gets older, maybe this injury gets him back into shape, because they thought from a scouting perspective, his body got a little dad bodish, and he started to lose some of his, you know, superpowers that way. So I thought that was fascinating. I'm not sure how much of it you read or if you just checked the the numbers, the list here, but I thought those two notes were kind of interesting. How about you though? What are your takeaways?
You know, it's on the Hurts front. I'll address that one first here. There are guys without a doubt that I would take Hurts over that are ahead of him. Like Sam Darnold, get the hell out of here. I don't care what I just saw last year. Like Sam Darnold didn't win Super Bowl MVP. Jalen Hurts did. Get the hell out of here. Baker Mayfield, what? Come on. Caleb Williams, could we do it for more than 5 minutes? What has Jared Goff done that Jalen Hurts hasn't done? To me, it's pretty easy to get Hurts above a lot of those guys when you're talking about those tier two. My own quarterback, yes, Dak is probably more talented.
I would not do that. I wouldn't go there.
But hear me out. If you have a big game, who do you want as your quarterback in said big game?
Dak.
Hell no, Dak. You don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Who do I get the Cowboys roster and infrastructure and culture, or do I get the all-star team that Hurts has played on? That comes with it.
The roster that comes with CeeDee Lamb and all these talented players?
Yeah,
that roster?
But it's a clown show. It's been a clown show for their...
Cut on the tape of Dak's last playoff game and then come back to me with the proper answer. Because Dak Prescott against
the Green Bay one was bad.
Jalen Hurts is never doing that in a playoff game.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, Tampa a couple years ago was ugly.
His first ever playoff start?
The one the year after they lost the Super Bowl, the one in between.
That was an ugly game. But it wasn't like here's a pick six and here's all this nonsense going on. Absolutely crumbled.
Bad.
Also, cut on the tape against the 49ers. Which one?
That was bad.
Either of them.
All right.
I live this stuff.
I get it.
I think Dak is incredibly talented. He deserves to be a tier two quarterback. And I think he's pound for pound, he is a better player than Jalen Hurts, I think. But if the way I look at quarterbacks often, it's like, hey, we got a big game. Who do I want as my QB? I'm telling you, it's more than six guys. I'm taking over Dak Prescott. it's more than six. I'm taking Love. I'm taking Purdy. I'm taking Jaden Daniels. I'm taking Jalen Hurts. I'm taking them over Dak Prescott. And I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I've just lived through enough nonsense in the postseason to where everyone conveniently does, Jerry and this and that. Go cut on the tape and see what he was doing.
I'm with you.
Cut on the tape.
He was bad. I'm a Dak fan, and I admit he was bad.
The Green Bay game is an atrocity.
Two-game sample, though. I mean, it's a couple games. It's a small sample, but... What's the other real bad one?
I don't think Caleb's better than Jaden Daniels, but that's minuscule. I mean, it's like, okay, like you rank Jaden Daniels above him or whatever. I do think, actually, the more I talk about it, maybe it's a hot take. Maybe I'm a victim of just one season. I would take Jaden Daniels over Jordan Love, me personally. And that's not even shade towards Jordan Love. I think Jaden Daniels is actually pretty special if in the right environment. I just think that they're dead set on building some old roster in Washington to where the team is just never going to be that great around him. But if Jaden Daniels was in we saw him his first year when the environment was at least somewhat decent, they made it to the NFC title game, they went and beat the Detroit Lions, the one seed as a 10-point underdog. And he went in there and was just making it rain. And maybe you put that on Aaron Glenn. I know some people probably would, but Jaden Daniels was tremendous in that game. Herbert's a little high to me as well. You got to win a playoff game before we put you at number six. I'm sorry. QB wins. It's not a stat or whatever, but damn it. The best QBs always win. Why haven't you won yet? It's a fair question to ask.
Fair.
We'll talk the betting application from Mike Sando's QB tiers when we come back here on Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, the Cubs keep adding on runs. They're now up 9-4 on the Washington Nationals. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill here hanging with you guys. We are united when it comes to the Chicago Cubs. Maybe slightly divided when it comes to Jalen Hurts and his placement in Mike Sando's QB tiers over at The Athletic. We encourage everybody to go out there and check that out. Mike Sando, friend of the network, friend of Will's podcast, I Should Have Bet More podcast. Make sure you are taking in all of that content throughout this NFL offseason. I do want to remind everybody.
Northwest guy, too.
Is he a Northwest?
You're back in the woods.
I was gonna say Northwestern. I was like, I'm pretty sure. But yes, he is a Seattleite. Nah. He is a Seattleite. My guy Mike Sando. So yes, we have crossed paths a time or two. Great dude. Always love chopping it up when it comes to football with Mike Sando, football historian, also a Hall of Fame voter as well. So always good to get his
opinion.
Loves
his food too. Loves to cook. Loves his food. Yeah, he's a big foodie.
Hey, aren't we all deep down? Whether you don't cook or not, aren't you a foodie to some degree? it's like, what do I love to do? I love to eat. It's fantastic. Right now, it's 1-1 in our VSiN primetime game of the night, by the way, between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. But I do want to remind everybody out there, preseason football, hey, guys, it starts this week, and that means tomorrow. Time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. The QB tiers that Mike Sando puts together, I find it fascinating, not just because of the rankings and all that stuff and the quotes and the anecdotes from the high-ranking officials, the coaches, the scouts, whoever. I kind of want to apply it from a betting standpoint. And I went back because the first year that Mike Sando did these QB tiers was when he was over at ESPN. It was back in 2014. So I went all the way back to 2014. It says, okay, like, where were the QBs ranked and in which tiers were they ranked that were the quarterbacks for the coaches who won Coach of the Year? So for those who don't know, Coach of the Year is my favorite betting market to bet on in any sport. NFL Coach of the Year. I absolutely love it. I love it because there's multiple ways to win the award. It's more subjective. We haven't really cracked the code like we have with MVP and other markets and other sports. So I love Coach of the Year because I still think there's a lot of value to be made with Coach of the Year. So since 2014, there has been no Coach of the Year winner who has entered the season with a quarterback ranked 10th or better on the most recent tiers list. So just think about that. No Coach of the Year winner has entered the season with a QB that was ranked 10th or better in the QB tiers list. The closest, the highest rated one, by the way, was 2023 Kevin Stefanski with Deshaun Watson, who entered that season highly thought of from a football standpoint, has since fallen off as he is now at the back end of tier four. I will say this, though, as well. So 12 of the Coach of the Year winners since Sando started doing the QB tiers, like it's been 12 guys since 2014, seven of them, because I have three archetypes for Coach of the Year. One of them is pretty simple. It's the improvement coach, the year-over-year improvement, the coach that wins like 5 to 6 more games than they won the year prior. That coach tends to get a lot of love and a lot of excitement amongst the voting bloc. You have the elite coach, the coach that loses like 2 games or fewer. We went 15-1. Great. I won Coach of the Year. Or Bill Belichick, most famously, 16-0 in 2007. No one was beating that case. He was always going to win Coach of the Year. And then there's a third category that I like to call the circumstance category. And these are the guys that like suffer medical hardships or injuries. Quarterback went down. A bunch of players went down, whatever. Those guys tend to get some love. Like that would have been Kyle Shanahan last year had they beat the freaking Seahawks in week 18 and got the one seed in the NFC. But seven of the improvement guys, here are where their quarterbacks ranked in Mike Sando's QB tiers list the year that they won Coach of the Year. So 2016, Jason Garrett for the Cowboys, he won Coach of the Year. Dak Prescott was a rookie, so he wasn't in the rankings, but like he had no cachet in NFL circles. 2017, Sean McVay, his first year as the Rams coach. Jared Goff was ranked 32nd on the QB tiers list. He was in tier four. 2018, Matt Nagy. Mitch Trubisky was ranked 29th. He was also in tier four. 2020, Kevin Stefanski, his first year in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield was ranked 21st. He was in tier three. 2022, Brian Daboll. Daniel Jones was ranked 30th in tier four. And then 2024, Kevin O'Connell. He had Sam Darnold, who was ranked 29th. He was also in tier four. Lastly, most recently, Mike Vrabel, who had Drake May. Like, think about how we were talking about Drake May heading into last season. He was tier three, ranked 22nd overall. So, like, the big takeaway for me, and we can do it with the circumstance guys and the elite guys as well, because it kind of checks out similarly. But the big takeaway for me from the QB tiers list was not where these guys ranked in terms of like in comparison to my opinion. It's more so where are they ranked, because this kind of sets the bar for which coach is likely to get the credit on a winning team, as opposed to the quarterback stealing that credit as a upper echelon guy, then all of a sudden being talked about in the MVP race. That was my biggest takeaway. Well, we can get into some of the guys that are on the betting odds board and how they kind of stack up here, because there are some guys, Jesse Minter, Joe Brady, where I'm like, I don't think you have a chance because your quarterback is too highly thought of. But any thoughts on what I laid out there with Coach of the Year as it pertains to Mike Sando's QB tiers that he's been doing all the way back to 2014?
You know, you mentioned it in the text that there was a betting angle from this. I hadn't thought of it from a Coach of the Year perspective, so that's interesting. Not much to add to that. I would just, again, encourage everyone to read the column. And one thing that was interesting, and again, there's 50 voters. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to hear people's perspectives. Some of the weird things. One guy still gave Aaron Rodgers a tier one vote. No, yeah. It's one out of 50. So, like, yes, 50 people of anything, you're going to get some weird ones. But he's like, hey, he can still throw it. He can still win with his mind. I don't know, man. He can't really escape. Watch him against the Texans. It was hopeless. I know he was better at times last year than you might think. But tier one, I think that's more out of respect in the past. And again, you're asking 50 people, and some people are going to interpret differently and just, you know, go based on the body of his work and his career. But right now, we're playing a game today. To me, he's not a tier one. Somebody actually had Mahomes at tier two, which is equally as fascinating. Say, you know what, he can't carry a team like he used to. So again, it's a really good read. Anything, I know you think Hurts was too low. Anything else you thought was interesting from either reading it or these lists that or anything like Coach of the Year, is that trigger a bet for you? What other takeaways did you have?
I think it more so triggers bets for me, because I think the top of the betting market, it's not all the way wrong, but it's kind of like a mix. It's sort of mismatched a little bit here, because right now over at DraftKings, the second shot is Jesse Minter. He's 10-1. I just don't see the scenario where Jesse Minter wins Coach of the Year unless Lamar Jackson gets hurt, which is possible. Lamar could miss a bunch of time, but I feel like his path to winning is more so the circumstance pass. Like, my quarterback got hurt and we still won a bunch of games, as opposed to, hey, I won 13 games in year one. Guess what happens when the Ravens win 13 games? Lamar probably wins MVP. That's what happens. And I don't think Jesse Minter would win Coach of the Year, because guess what? You have a two-time MVP quarterback that you walked into. Ben Johnson, I think he just missed his chance last year. And also, too, like, Caleb Williams is thought of as like a tier two quarterback. Saleh at 10-1, that makes sense to me. And now I wouldn't necessarily bet it, but it makes sense. Same with Kellen Moore. Clint Kubiak in the similar way. Shoddy, like 15-1. Like, Dak is thought of as a top tier quarterback. He's seventh in the QB list for QB tiers. Like Schottenheimer's not getting the credit. The Cowboys go 12-5. 13-4, win the NFC East, and Dak throws for like 38 touchdowns. Like, Dak's going to be in the MVP conversation, which kind of ejects Brian Schottenheimer from the Coach of the Year conversation. So like, Joe Brady's another guy at 19-1 and on down the line. To me, you want to be looking for teams that have quarterbacks that are bad, or teams that have quarterbacks who will not get the credit immediately. Like Drake May last year, where like, it was Drake May playing really good football, but because they have Mike Vrabel, and we didn't think about Drake May in August and September as an MVP caliber player, Mike Vrabel then got the credit. Like, that's how these things kind of work with the awards. It's all about it's a credit pie. Like who's going to get like the biggest slice of the credit pie? If your quarterback is upper echelon, the quarterback's going to get the credit. Like, Zach Taylor, like, you can never win Coach of the Year, because if the Bengals are ever good, like they used to be, Joe Burrow is going to get all the credit. It's not going to you. There's a reason why Andy Reid hasn't won Coach of the Year since Mahomes has been his quarterback. Like, he would have to go like 16-1, 15-2. Hell, he did it, and he still didn't win Coach of the Year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's kind of how this thing plays out. So, like, yes, like, we all think about Coach of the Year as just, you got to improve like by like 5 to 6 wins. You also have to thread a certain needle as well to make sure your quarterback is not like the head honcho and will steal all the credit of the team's success. Quick programming note, though, because after the break here, VSiN Primetime, we're stepping aside for the Circa Survivor documentary. If you want to keep listening to Primetime, you can catch it on the VSiN Watch app or Sirius XM channel 158. Otherwise, stick around, because the documentary is coming up next. You can check out the episodes of the documentary on YouTube. I will say that. And if you do stick around, we laid out the path for winning Coach of the Year. Now, who should you bet? I'll answer that question when we come back next, because there is one guy in particular that was at a monster price, and I couldn't help myself. I had to pull the trigger. We discuss that begin hour number 3 of VSiN Primetime.